Good evening and welcome to Nightline Africa. We are coming to you from the English service of the Voice of America. Thanks for joining us. I'm Peter Clote in Washington, D.C. Human rights activists say a new anti-gay measure in the Ugandan parliament will violate freedom of expression and association.
It carried on from the past iteration of this law, which essentially criminalizes homosexuality, but there are also new provisions which are even more troubling.
A Rwandan opposition leader says more must be done to empower the country's women.
They've emphasized the numbers for women in the different institutions in Rwanda does not indicate that Rwanda's commitment to gender equality does not empower the women's rights in Rwanda.
And thousands of Cameroonian women protest the soaring cost of living. Those stories and more coming up on Nightline Africa. Human Rights Watch says a new measure being considered in the Ugandan parliament will violate freedom of expression, association, and non-discrimination as enshrined in the constitution. This after parliamentarians introduced an anti-gay bill that proposes tough penalties for those who engage in same-sex relations. Homosexuality is illegal in Uganda, and punishment includes up to 10 years of prison for those who describe themselves as LGBTQ. But critics, including human rights groups, say if adopted, the new measure will criminalize same-sex and gender identity. For more reaction to the new anti-gay measure, I reach Oriem Nyeko. He is a researcher for Amnesty International.
The anti-homosexuality bill was reintroduced today in Parliament. It is coming for some time. And it, unsurprisingly, is very... It carries on from the past iteration of this law, which essentially criminalizes homosexuality. But there are also new provisions which are even more troubling. The proposal is to basically make it illegal for people to say, to identify as being gay, lesbian, queer, or transgender. And there's criminal, there's jail sentences that could be given to people who violate that provision of the bill. And it's very problematic in that it really restricts, which is a violation of people's right to identify as what they choose to. The bill has provisions that violate the right to privacy. And also, I think it creates several opportunities for discrimination against people on the basis of their sexual orientation, which shouldn't be happening.
But Oriam, what do you say to the proponents of this new bill, who say that there has to be a law to protect the sanctity of the life and culture and practices of Ugandans, and that these acts are illegal because it will corrupt morals in Uganda? How do you respond to such?
Well, I mean, the rhetoric around this law that has been going around for several months before it was even introduced is this idea that there's a shadowy group of homosexuals who are recruiting children into homosexuality, who are abusing children. And that's what has been used to justify this new bill, in addition to the cultural aspects. But the truth of the matter is that this proposed law doesn't even really address the potential for sexual abuse against children. It's essentially designed to clamp down on people for how they identify and also for who they have sex with, which frankly is not the role of the government to regulate. It's not the role of the government to regulate what consenting adults do in their private lives. And I think that the cultural argument doesn't stand, because the truth of the matter is that there are gay Ugandans that exist. They are just as Ugandan as people who are not gay, and the government should not be passing laws that discriminate against one group over the other just because that group is a minority.
If it is passed into law, what impact will they have?
So Human Rights Watch, when the first iteration of the Anti-Homosexuality Act was passed back in 2013, we found that it had widespread effect. People who were identified as being LGBT, whether they were or not, but were perceived as being belonging to those categories, were rendered homeless. They lost their jobs. They faced physical attacks and arrest. And we see that tension happening again. We've already seen discrimination against LGBT people in the last few weeks, and very negative things, particularly, and also organizations that support LGBT people with healthcare and mental health have been targeted by the government. They've been shut down in some cases. And we see the potential for more of that happening, which will be disastrous, not only for those people, but for Ugandan society as a whole. There should not be a position where ordinary Ugandans who are just as important and valuable as other people are facing physical attacks, are being beaten, are being arrested because they identify differently from other people, or where organizations that provide healthcare or house homeless people are being shut down. I think if those kinds of things happen to LGBT rights organizations, they're going to happen to other organizations, and that's a problem for the human rights situation in Uganda as a whole.
Oriem Nyeko is a researcher for Amnesty International. He spoke with me from the Kenyan capital, Nairobi. The leader of the opposition Development in Liberty for All says more has to be done to empower the country's women. In an opinion piece, Victoire Ingabire says there must be an opening of political space to enable more women from different political parties to freely express their views and participate in the country's governance. She also called for what she says must be a cultural and economic shift to emancipate Rwandan women. Her remarks come as the world marks International Women's Day. But supporters of the government say Rwandan women have made significant strides and need to be applauded for the efforts. They cite official figures which show that about 61.3% of parliamentary seats and 55% of top ministerial positions are held by women. For more on what she thinks can be done to empower women in Rwanda, I reach Victoire Ingabire in the capital, Kigali.
Yes, that is true that we have so many women in the parliament, in the government. But what I say is that we have a long way to go, because there's impressive numbers for women in the different institutions in Rwanda does not indicate that Rwanda's commitment to gender equality does not empowerment the women rights in Rwanda. For example, I can give a simple example. There is the last report of Transparency International Rwanda. They have complained about the lack of interest of the law market in condemning and initiating a bill against the growing sex-based corruption in the labor market. To get a job in Rwanda, for example, if you are a girl or you are a woman, you have to take the sex. That is not something to respect women. If to give the job, she has a right on this job, but she has to give to get the job, she has to exchange it to the sexual favor.
statistics show that in Rwanda, some 61.3% of parliamentary seats are for women, and 55% of ministerial positions are being held by women, which is significant. Other countries don't have it that way.
Yeah, but the problem is not to have many women in institutions. That does not have a significance to the other women. You have to know that the majority of Rwanda people are women. But for example, 83.4% of women work in the informal sector, and they receive the wage that is the other 16%. The difference between the wage of the women and the men is 16%. This doesn't mean that these women in the parliament normally should protest against this behavior. The women have to receive the same wage as men. Which does this kind of difference.
But women have broken the gender stereotypes and taken on work that used to be considered as only for men, you know, including carpentry, truck driving, masonry, and so on. You admit that women in Rwanda have made significant strides compared to other African countries. So what do you think is the best way forward now?
But the problem is that even there are these women in different jobs in the country, but the majority of ordinary women I meet and speak to from across Rwanda say that there is a long way to go for women to achieve a level of influence in decision-making process that can lead to the change. Because if, for example, in total, even if you have so many women in the parliament and many women in the minister, in different government institutions, but in total, only 28%, 6% women has the role of managerial in the whole country. This is the low number, even if we have men in the parliament and in the government. But in the other decision and the other bodies, they take a decision in Rwanda, the women, the number of the women are low. It is not only that. These women that we have in this institution, they are not really the agent of the change we need in Rwanda. No, they are there only to respect the wish of the ruling party, but they are not really there for the constituency that elected them. That is also something that has to be changed.
So what do you think can be done policy-wise that will uplift women to meet those expectations that you have?
I think there are two things that should be done. First, the women in Rwanda needed to be emancipated. For me, the emancipation for women in Rwanda can be done by a movement made of a vibrant civil society organization, led by fresh minds working towards supporting the women to be assertive. These women should be assertive so that once the public office laws, they can become genuine change makers. That's the first. Secondly, the people who critics the government, like me, we should be allowed to exercise our political rights.
Victoire Ingabire is the leader of the Opposition Development and Liberty for All. She spoke with me from the Rwandan capital, Kigali. The countdown to March 20th has begun in Kenya, where the country's opposition is calling for mass protests against the government's failure to bring down the high cost of living. But Friday, opposition leader Raila Odinga led two early protests in his stronghold, the region of Nyanza and neighboring Western Kenya. For VOA, James Shimanyula has the story from the Kenyan capital, Nairobi.
Eyewitnesses say more than 13,000 people participated Friday in early protests in Nyanza on the shores of Lake Victoria and neighboring Western Kenya, west of the Kenyan capital Nairobi. Veteran Kenyan opposition leader Raila Odinga made an announcement and addressed protesters in a speech that was punctuated by Bob Marley's reggae song Buffalo Soldier.
Take note that on 20th March of 2023, we have a date with destiny in Nairobi. Our supporters throughout the country shall stage a massive procession in Nairobi for a legitimate and inclusive government.
Buffalo.
It is action time. Let us all come out to make our voices heard.
Shortly after Odinga had spoken, one of his unnamed top officials was heard saying,
"This illegitimate regime must go.
Several hours after the protests ended, Kenya's Interior Minister Kithure Kindiki, whose portfolio includes internal security, sounded this warning.
Any person, regardless of their rank in society, who even attempts to threaten to forcibly access security facilities, will be dealt with firmly, ruthlessly, and decisively, in accordance with the law. All security agencies to ensure that our security facilities remain protected areas and should not be allowed to become a theater for politics or rowdy and unlawful behavior."
The mass protests announced by Odinga come more than 8 months after Raila Odinga lost the presidential election to William Ruto. For VOA Africa, I'm James Shimanyula in Nairobi.
Season 3 of the Basketball Africa League is here. Starting off in Dakar from March 11th to March 21st for the Sahara Conference, then heading to Cairo from April 26th to May 6th for the Nile Conference, and the excitement continues to build in the finals in Kigali from May 21st to May 27th. Tune in and follow the BAL starting this Saturday on The Voice of America.
The Reconstitution Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission, the body tasked with overseeing implementation of the peace deal, is calling on South Sudanese President Salva Kiir and Vice President Riek Machar to amicably resolve their dispute over the firing of Defense Minister Angelina Teny and moving the Defense Ministry under the control of the President's ruling party. For VOA, Viola Elias has this report from the South Sudanese capital, Juba.
Last week, President Kiir announced the removal of Defense and Veteran Affairs Minister Teny and Interior Minister Mahmoud Solomon. In another degree, he swapped control of the ministry to the SPLM-IN government and the Interior Ministry to the SPLM-IN opposition. Since that time, politicians, activists and ordinary citizens have expressed fear that the decision could jeopardize the implementation of the peace agreement and may even cause the country to slip back into war. In a statement issued yesterday, the Monitoring Commission said it is willing to help the two leaders if they cannot resolve the issue. Charles Tai, acting chairperson for the RGMEC, encouraged talks between Kiir and Machar and praised the two for agreeing to meet today.
RGMEC welcomes the decision of the president and the first vice president to meet and discuss the issue of the removal of the Minister of Defense and Veteran Affairs and the swapping of the two ministries. In that regard, we urge the parties to observe the letter and spirit of the revitalized agreement on the resolution of the conflict in the Republic of South Sudan.
Tai says the peace monitoring body advised the parties to seek solutions from the peace monitors if they cannot resolve the issue on their own.
If there is a deadlock between the parties to the agreement, a referral can be made to RGMEC to engage the parties with a view to finding a compromise and recommending measures to break the deadlock. With less than 24 months of the extended transition period remaining, it is important that this issue be resolved as soon as possible.
Eddie Moniakani, chairperson of the Right Group's Community Empowerment for Progress organization, says Teny removals goes against the spirit of the 2018 peace deal.
On the latest disagreement that has merged when His Excellency President issued a decree for swapping the Minister of Defense and Interior between SPLM and SPLM-IO and relieving the Minister of SPLM-IO without any consultation and consensus, which is in violation of the spirit of the agreement.
Earlier this week, the Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commissions and the Ceasefire and Transitional Security Arrangement Monitoring and Verification Mechanism or CITISAM VM, conducted a 2 days workshop on enhancing the role and participation of women in implementing the agreement. RGMEC Acting Chairperson Tai says inclusivity and participation are the key factors in the implementation of the deal, and he is urging the partners in the national government to quickly implement it. For VOA News, I am Viola Elias in Juba.
Development experts say in many countries, girls lag behind boys in science and technology skills. But in the Republic of Congo, one NGO is making a difference. The Giovanni Emami Foundation is encouraging young girls to enter scientific professions. The foundation launched last year a Women in Biotech Lab, a space dedicated to learning that includes an all-expenses-paid scholarship for interns. For viewer, Rosie Pioth reports from Congo Republic's capital, Brazzaville.
20-year-old Mabluya is in the second year of earning a master's degree in physiology at Marie Ngwabi University in Brazzaville. Never misses an opportunity to learn and improve a curriculum and to get a little closer to her ambition.
Plus grand projet de vie.
She says that her biggest project in life is to contribute to research on neurodegenerative diseases, especially Alzheimer's, an illness that diminishes memory and underbrain functioning in many aging adults. To put it in simpler terms, she says she'd like to contribute to research aimed at finding a suitable treatment and also better living conditions for people with Alzheimer's disease. And to achieve this, she doesn't hesitate to continue her personal research. In 2022, she was awarded a grant for an internship in the Women in the Biotech Lab, a three-month period initiated by the Giovanni and Mami Foundation and intended to encourage young girls in science. She says that her internship focused on designing a bioplastic. It's one that is biodegradable and eco-friendly due to the fact that it was synthesized and made from renewable materials like cassava wasp, unlike all the other plastics used as a petroleum-based and all the other chemicals. Dr. Awaneli Josiane is a specialist in molecular biology and regularly follows the work of the young girl at the university. For her, the young Luya has a future in science. She says that Aimable Luya was a very committed student, very determined. She felt Aimable was very passionate. She didn't hesitate to ask questions when she didn't understand the notion. She reacted well. In science, she can say that she really has a future. She has potential.
Oui, elle a du potentiel.
Dr. Mwanda Mami is the president of the Giovanni and Mami Foundation. The idea of setting up a research structure of young scientists is a girl's dream. Now a reality thanks to the support of Mami's husband, a career engineer. This pair of scientists has set up the Giovanni and Mami Foundation, which will launch in April the second set of the internship grants for young women scientists for the Women in Biotech program.
Du coup, on voulait faire un programme qui encouragerait et puis susciterait l'intérêt des jeunes filles vers.
She says that they wanted to make a program that would encourage and arouse the interest of young girls in science. So, during the 3 months of school vacation from July to September, they receive at the headquarters of the foundation in Pointe-Noire the laureates. For the 3 months of their internships, they will participate on innovative and atypical projects like the one developed by Emma during her study. The foundation, which was started in 2020, has so far trained 2 girls, but will work with about says that providing support to girls in science is essential because so far they are falling behind their male peers in the field. And skilled workers in science, technology, engineering, and math are needed to further national development. For VOA Africa, I'm Hosie Piot in Brazzaville.
Direct from Washington, the voice of America, VOA.
Young artists everywhere struggle to earn a living, but that's especially true in South Africa, where youth unemployment is more than 43%. The International Public Art Festival is trying to help bridge that gap by connecting young artists with companies looking for creative marketing. For VOA, Vicky Stark reports from Cape Town, South Africa.
The International Public Art Festival in Cape Town aims to address South Africa's unemployment rate, which is one of the highest in the world. About 4.6 million of the 10.2 million young people aged 15 to 34 are out of work. Artists who painted these murals got tips on how to make it commercially. Work was so scarce that 22-year-old Hanim Davids chose to study events management instead of focusing on her art. David says it was a tough decision.
There was definitely a time where I wanted to work as an artist full-time, especially in high school while I was studying. It was obviously a dream.
Artist manager Zimasile Njokozeli agrees it's tough out there and says artists must learn how to navigate the art world, like working with an art gallery, to increase their chances of making it. Njokozeli says those who want to go it alone shouldn't neglect the business side of things.
There are artists who can manage, but I don't think the broad perspective of artists do manage to make a living like that, because you could sell a painting this month and then your next painting is in 6 months. And that's just the reality of, you know, the economy that we're in and the creative industry that we're in.
John Wan, whose birth name is John Andrew Perello, is considered one of the best graffiti artists in the world. He was born in America and honed his art in New York City's Harlem neighborhood. His work sells for hundreds of thousands of dollars. John Wan said it's important for artists to see the value in what they're doing.
I was providing happiness and joy and liberty to people, and they had to sort of like, if they really believed in what I was doing, they had to support me, and not just with a pat on the back and a thumbs up.
Organizers say the festival provides a venue for artists to build relations, find work, and get advice. Alexander Tillmans is the co-founder of Baz Art, which hosts the annual festival. He agrees with the advice one lawyer gave the artists.
Trust your guts. He said, if you feel that there's something that tells you it's going to go wrong, maybe don't do it. You're going to save time. Get a deposit. Always get a deposit so you know your bare minimum is covered. Have a contract, not a WhatsApp, but at least an email with the agreement, that price, for that duration, for that piece of art.
Tillmans has stressed that South Africa's creative economy should be part of any high-value growth strategy to reduce unemployment. Vicky Stark for VOA News, Cape Town, South Africa.
You are listening to Nightline Africa on the English service of The Voice of America. I'm your host, Peter Clote, in Washington, D.C. And coming up in the second half of Nightline Africa, the Saturday music spot from our collection of music from the continent. But first, thousands of women in Cameroon took to the streets on Wednesday, International Women's Day, to protest the high cost of living. The government blamed soaring food and energy prices on Russia's invasion of Ukraine. For VOA Moki, Edwin Kenzaka reports from the Cameroonian capital, Yaoundé.
Hundreds of Cameroonian women blow trumpets and whistles on the streets of the Central African state's capital, Yaoundé, shouting and decrying the high cost of living amid surging inflation. The women say they want the government to help them cope with price increases. Suzanne Menanga is coordinator of the Cameroon Female Consumers Union that organized the protest. She says her group protested on International Women's Day because more than 80% of Cameroon's roughly 14 million women are either unemployed or earn very low wages that make it difficult to cope with the high costs.
On a parlé de l'augmentation des salaires, mais honnêtement, ça ne couvre pas.
She says a February 2023 minimum wage increase for private sector workers from about $60 to $68 and the 5.4% salary increase for government workers has not improved the living conditions of Cameroonians. Menanga says food price inflation increased from 25% in 2022 to 40% in 2023, adding that it is difficult for families to purchase everyday items like bread, sugar, fish, salt, soap, and vegetable oil, whose prices are up by between 18 and 45%. The women say the minimum wage for private sector workers should be increased to at least $100. The government should increase the salaries of state workers by 20%, according to the women. The government says protests took place in several towns, including Bamenda, Bafoussam, Goundere, and Ebulova, on Wednesday. Luc Magramberga Atangana is Cameroon's trade minister. He says Russia's war in Ukraine has led to an increase in the prices of basic commodities all over the world.
Au demeurant, la FAO annonce une augmentation d'au moins de 20%.
Atangana says Cameroon, like the World Bank and FAO, or Food and Agriculture Organization, blames the current high inflation and slow economic growth in low and middle income countries that rely heavily on Ukraine and Russia for grains and plant oils on disruptions caused by Russia's invasion of Ukraine. He says Cameroon is one among scores of low-income countries where high fertilizer prices have become an obstacle to food production. Atangana says Cameroon is lucky that it is not experiencing food shortages. Atangana said civilians should learn to live with the price increases. He adds that living standards are affected all over Africa and may only be reduced when Russia stops its aggression in Ukraine. Last year, the Cameroonian government said President Paul Biya ordered an immediate disbursement of more than $15 million to grow wheat and rice in the Central African state. The government asked civilians to eat locally produced food instead of imports. The women say it is difficult for them to obey government instructions to stop overdependence on expensive imported rice, maize and beans because a 60% increase in prices of fertilizer is making it difficult to grow crops locally. The Agriculture Ministry says it has already spent $1 million on fertilizer subsidies since Russia's invasion of Ukraine in February of last year. International Women's Day celebrates the social, economic, cultural, and political achievements of women. It also marks a call to action for accelerating gender parity. Moki Edwin Kinzuka for VOA News, Yaoundé, Cameroon.
Stay engaged with VOA Africa. You can call us 24/7 on WhatsApp and leave a message, comments, or greetings. Dial the international code +1 then 202-258-3076. The number again is the international code +1 then 202-258-3076.
Right now it's time for music from our African collection.
Baby, anytime you dress, baby, you
beautiful. How say you been there, my love home? My baby loves me with all the rumors about me. My baby loves me.
Ya kinka banka, ya don't see more by ya don't my sherry to wear my car.
You beautiful baby, anytime you dress baby, you beautiful. How say you been there, my love home? My baby loves me. My wish baby, not for me and you together. My wish baby, my wish, my love.
Ich mag deinen Blick und deinen Body und deinen Rhythmus mag ich auch. Und diese kleinen süßen Fehler, du bist relaxed, wenn ich dich brauch. Mein Diamant, oh mein Baby, die schönste Lady aus Freetown. Now you are water, now you are water, come back we go, if you wanna go.
Die Welt steht still, wir wachen auf, gleich wird es hell. Ich bin so gern bei dir, pack ich dich ein oder bleib ich hier?
Beautiful, baby, anytime you dress, baby,
you. Ja, Nicola, big, man, I'm all big, ja, nicht so nah, Gisha. In a colobi, my sickolobi, man, Nicola, Nisha. Nicolo B, Nicolo C, San Nicola Misha.
Quaqualata, Quaqualata.
The Nicolo B, Manimo B, Janice and Ogisha. Nicolo B, my second of him, Nicola Misha. The Nicolo B, Nicolo C, San Nicola Misha.
Quaqualata, Quaqualata. I enter from my putta, Quaqualata. Only mota kasu face ya wata. I know fit for some if it don't pass my power. I roll up a shower, my body for kwakwalata. I enter from my puta go kwakwalata. Only mota kasu face ya wata. I know fit for some if it don't pass my power. I roll up a shower, my body for kwakwalata.
For oh lana, oh God, you let me ask God. I live flaming, we jam a shami, me no way I jam. I look, my God, I move at me. Can't you see? We love over there, we jam a ribby, I'm come a ledger. Love this song, tomorrow shot. Love me, you easy, I cry. Baby, don't you waste my time. I see my good song.
Give me ginger, give me power, one more hello.
homies who wanna link up. Make one a semi location. Me and my homies having a drink up. Aqua Safari, we a vacation. Five star life. Just keys moving like dolphins. And you know we got ice on ice. Big boys know they like talking. What else?
I can't let you go. Cause I'm the craze for your body. And then I just make it give me ID. Of champagne for your body tonight. Oh, it is a money tonight. Your body, your body tonight.
You look sexy tonight. I know we just met, but I'm Pawasen. Please let me take you out if it's alright. I need a lady by my side, and I can look any further cause she's my type. You know I saw you coming, and I could see that I don't really know this girl, but she's a vibe. And now you're looking all surprised. I'm sorry, I apologize, cause I can't help it. I got a crush on you, I'm kinda selfish. You think it's a lie, don't you? My coma melted, cause I can die for you. You know I felt it, that I'd be the one for you. Would you wanna walk with me? A couple things that we can talk about. Baby, please talk to me. Tell me what you need and I can sort it out. You know I got you.
I can't let you go, cause I'm the craze for your body. And then I just make it give me what I did. Girl, your body tonight. I go pop champagne for your body tonight. Oh, it is a money tonight. Girl, your body tonight. Mm, your body, oh. Make I spend all my money, oh. If you got a friend or two with a body, oh. Baby, pull up, let's get busy tonight. Your body, oh. Come on, me need my mommy, oh. So baby, come do my grip up champagne. I say your body make I go insane. Girl, your body tonight. I go pop champagne for your body tonight. It is a money tonight. Girl, your body tonight.
Say I go spend all my dough for your body.
Success will never come to you.
No.
But I can do what you gotta do.
Do what you got to do, yeah.
Nobody really cares.
Nobody cares.
Success will never come to you.
No.
But I can do what you gotta do.
Do what you got to do, yeah.
Nobody really cares.
One God.
DJ Tamuka tell him.
Zimbabwe Ghana.
Ability extension. Pablo. Coming to you from another. Nobody hear what people say. Tell them don't block my way. Ah, yeah. Them used to think I'm funny. When man hustle and hunt for me, but them want see me dead.
Touch my
waiting. Pumatenga, I praise him for this and other blessing. I show I tell him it's worth it.
I will never come to you. Work and do what you gotta do. Obeying our who's if nobody really cares. Success will never come to you. Work and do what you gotta do. Obeying our who's if ain't nobody really cares. If you're making money, nobody hear what people say. Tell them don't block my way.
Up the place, cause your body is your truth. So me cause a damn sucker, sugar mama, and another, flex on your brother, top shutter, he go harder, than that. Sugar mama, and another, flex on your brother, top shutter, you go harder, than that.
Notice me, nobody will know the paranoia, oh. Cause I put put a smile on my face, a facade you can never face. Ooh. And if you don't know me well, hello, you won't see how buried I am inside my grave. Inside my grave. Cause you see people don't really know you. They don't really know you.
That was music from the continent, and we hope you enjoyed it.
Season 3 of the Basketball Africa League is here. Starting off in Dakar from March 11th to March 21st for the Sahara Conference, then heading to Cairo from April 26th to May 6th for the Nile Conference, and the excitement continues to build in the finals in Kigali from May 21st to May 27th. And follow the BAL starting this Saturday on The Voice of America.
Nightline Africa comes to you on Saturdays and Sundays at 16 and 18 hours UTC from the English service of The Voice of America. And from the rest of the Nightline team, including producer Mike Hovey, we say a big thank you for joining us tonight. And remember, as the elders say, however full the house, the hen finds a corner to lay in. I'm your host, Peter Clote, in Washington, D.C. Good evening, Africa.